The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
Furthermore, inanimate things moved at the voice of him who declared, God is holy. God is holy. God is holy. We can say that even things that are not supposed to see, and things that are not supposed to hear, not things that are not supposed to move, moved at the holiness of God.
When the prophet Isaiah was in the presence of a perfect God, he saw clearly the tragic sinfulness and unholiness of man. Hello, welcome to the conclusion of the sermon entitled The Three Revelations Isaiah Saw. My name is Mark, and I'm your host for our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in Southern California. The Word of God, according to James, is like a mirror. You look into it, and it will give you a truthful view of your nature. Do you have a clear view of your sinfulness and a need for a Savior? If so, then come to Jesus for forgiveness of your sins. Now, I know that many people don't like to talk about sin, but Isaiah was the prophet in the nation, and therefore probably the most pious in the land. However, Isaiah the prophet declared that even he himself, in the presence of a perfect God, realized that he was sinful and cried, I am a man of unclean lips. God then commanded the angels to touch his lips with hot coals to purify his mouth. Let's listen to Pastor Christian's sermon as he concludes the three revelations Isaiah saw.
The voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. We see here the resolve of Isaiah to be faithful, to be obedient, to be loyal in carrying the line of God because of the three revelations that he saw. Number one, Isaiah saw the proud fall. Number two, Isaiah saw the perfect face. Read with me in verses 1 through 4 in our text, Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw, what's the next word? Also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he heard these magnificent creatures tell one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Furthermore, inanimate things moved at the voice of him who declared, God is holy. God is holy. God is holy. We can say that even things that are not supposed to see, and things that are not supposed to hear, not things that are not supposed to move, moved at the holiness of God. This is what Isaiah saw, and it changed him. King Uzziah was a magnificent king, no doubt about that. But this King of Kings is majestic beyond compare. King Uzziah is nothing compared to this holy king. King Jehovah is different. It makes so much sense to trust in this one rather than the man king. You see what I'm saying? He sees a magnificent vision of God. This is what we need to see, folks. This is what we need to see. Isaiah later on recounted this idea that the Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. Isaiah 35, 33, 5, reiterating what Moses said, What did Moses say? Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like glorious in holiness, fearful, awesome in praises, doing wonders? Hey, folks, do you see a different God? The third revelation that Isaiah saw is this. Not only did he see the proud fall, he saw the perfect face. Number three, he saw his personal frailty. Look with me, verses 5 through 8. Then said I, woe. It's not, woe, I'm awed. It's, woe. Cursed is me. For I am undone. You know, we use the word when we see somebody who's got it all together. This description of himself is saying, I don't got it all together. Excuse me, English teachers out there, any English teachers out there. I don't got it all together. I am disintegrated. I fall apart. Why? Because he saw the perfect face. And when he saw the perfect face, he saw his personal frailty. 21 years ago, straight out of high school, I joined the Navy. I shipped out to Great Lakes, Illinois. That was my official introduction to the real world. The Apostle John was right when he said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And boy, did I have an introduction to the real world. For instance, within the first week of boot camp, we called it P days, processing days, 7 people were kicked out for popping positive on the drug test. On the first day. Now, these 70 people in the open bay saw me open my Ryrie Bible study. And it was twice as big as this one I've got. So one night, somebody asked me to say, believe it or not, they asked me to say the bedtime prayers. We're talking about 17, 18, 19-year-old guys, 70 of them in one open bay. Well, 21 years ago, I suppose this happened. I don't know now. They asked me to say bedtime prayers. I said, okay. Lord, woe are we, for we are undone, because we are men of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Forgive us, Lord. We've sinned against you in so many ways. So many ways, Lord. Amen. Boy, did I have a verbal beating that night. I don't remember how many people didn't like that prayer. I do now recognize that that was a precursor to what it would feel like as a preacher. Not saying amen to that. You should speak for yourself there, Torres. But there was one person who said, hey, shut up, Brown. Torres is just telling it like it is. Those words played over and over in my head that night. Isaiah said amen to that. Do you say amen to that? Isaiah saw the piety and prosperity and presumption and pride which led to the penalty of King Uzziah. Isaiah saw the perfect purity of the unique king, and only when he saw the holiness of God that he understood how utterly wicked and unclean he was. Verses 6 and 7, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Praise God for that. There is forgiveness of sins, but there is no forgiveness of sins when you do not see how frail and how sinful you are before a perfect God. No forgiveness of sins if you don't admit that you are a sinner. And if you've never done that, what are you waiting for? God is a holy God, and we are unholy. And we need to be purged, and we need to be forgiven. Isaiah saw his personal frailty. Isaiah's revelation wasn't unique in history. Luke records of a similar experience in the life of Simon Peter, the fisherman. If you'd like to turn there, it's in Luke chapter 5, the context. Jesus had been kicked out of his hometown. People got offended at his authoritative preaching. They didn't like the idea of a carpenter, an apprentice of a carpenter, as their promised Messiah. So Jesus departed to the lake of Gennesaret, same as the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias. Luke 5 records for us that he tells Peter to launch out into the deep and drop his net, and he will have a big, big catch of fish. And of course, Peter, who seemed to always put his foot in his mouth, of course, he was a professional fisherman, said, I'm a professional at this. I've spent all night. Didn't catch nothing. But at thy word, Lord, I will obey. And he did. And there were 150 fishes in his net. My first instinct would be, Jesus, let's sign a partnership contract, you and me, in this fishing business. But what did Peter say? Depart from me. You're a holy God. What manner of man are you? You're different. You're the Son of God. The Son of the living God. Depart from me, because I'm wicked. That's what Isaiah saw. Isaiah saw the perfect face. And it changed his entire life. This is what we need to see, folks. So that we would be loyal to God. We would be faithful to God. And we would be carrying the light, no matter what happens to us, no matter what happens to the world, to continue on carrying the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your home, in this town, in this state, in this nation, and all around the world. Let's pray.
We hope that you've been blessed by the contents of this CD. Pastor Christian is in the studio today, and I'm going to ask him to tell us more about this sermon. What is the thrust of this message?
Well, Mark, thank you for hosting our commuter CD. The thrust of this message is to motivate the church workers. It's been my prayer and desire that our church workers will have the visions like Isaiah had, so that their view of the church work is informed by the knowledge of the holiness and magnificence of God. And I really believe that when we see that, it will change how we view the ministry and how we work in the service of God. Now, because of Isaiah's view of people, his view of God, and his view of himself, he volunteered to be of further use to God for his glory. "Here am I, send me," he said.
Thanks for listening to our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in Southern California. For times of services and more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com. My name is Mark, and I hope to see you again next time on our commuter CD from RBC.